Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
On Signs of Life Radio, and tonight we're going to try something new. We're going to try to have a show centered around a book, and we sent out some emails, and hopefully some of our listeners have had a chance to read The Testimony of Light, and they'll join in our conversation. And we're also celebrating Tom Gould's birthday.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Melissa is here as well, and as well as Fran and myself, and we have a lot to talk about. Testimony of Light is something that we've referenced over the years, and we'll talk about maybe why it's important and the premise of the book. And before we get started, Fran, get us up to date on what we should be looking for, and I should mention that tonight's sponsor is Transitions LLC 23.
Right, and the easiest way to get to them is from the link on our radio page because they're
a long
website.
Long,
confusing link.
Okay.
But worth the trip. Worth the trip there. I also want to mention before I give you the few announcements that I have is that all of the radio shows that we have been doing since 2006 are all archived on our website. And we get countless numbers of emails from people asking if they could get a copy of the show because they missed it or what. You don't need a copy of the show. You can download it as many times as you want. It's on our website. It's on the archives page. So just go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, click on Signs of Life Radio, and about a quarter of the way down the page, you'll see a link that says, check out our archives, and it's searchable. So if you're looking for a particular guest that may have been on, like, Laura Lynn Jackson, you type in Laura Lynn Jackson, and all of the shows that she has been on will come up, and then you can listen to them all or pick which one you want to listen to. But it's a wonderful searchable page. So I'm just going to encourage everybody who listens to the show and who suggests to others to listen to the show, that there are archives that are wonderful, wonderful interviews.
And it's a good point because, as you mentioned, since 2006, we've interviewed a lot of researchers and authors and scientists in the field. So some interviews going back 10 years are pretty interesting to listen.
And some who are not alive anymore.
Right.
So maybe we'll interview them again in another fashion. Meanwhile, on with our regular announcements, our next webinar, How Karma Plays Out in the Afterlife, What Our Spirit Friends Are Telling Us, is a wonderful complimentary webinar to what we're going to be discussing tonight. So if you want to know more about the afterlife than what we may be able to enlighten you with tonight, you should sign up for this webinar. It's Tuesday night, February 9th. You can listen to it in your pajamas, grab a bowl of ice cream. If you're a member, you get the discounted price of just $5. If you're not a member, it's $20. Just go to the website on the events page, and you'll see all of the webinars and all the events, and click on whichever one's fancy you, sign up, and we'll hopefully see you Tuesday night at the webinar. It's going to be presented by Dr. Stafford Betty, and there's lots more details there, including many of the other books that he has written in addition to the two key ones about the afterlife. And then our next March webinar is Suicide Loss, Perspectives from Parents, Therapists, and a Medium. So while you're there, you can sign up for that one as well. And then you can watch for additional webinars as we post them on the Forever Family Foundation events page. And just to let our listeners know what else might be they might be missing, that's coming up in February. We have the Visionary Explorers Group, which is free. We have an afterlife discussion group in Cold Spring Harbor, New York, which is free. And if you scroll down, you'll see many other events that are free as well. Up on our website now is our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle. Go to the website now to capture some of the low assigned numbers as the winners are drawn from a computer program after a number is assigned to each entry. The drawing will be on April 22nd, Earth Day, and you can win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Amy Utzman, Renee Buck, Dave Campbell, Lynn LeClaire, or Bobby Allison. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. So you can help keep this whole foundation alive by just going to the website, clicking on that button, and donating the most generous donation you could possibly do. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. All the information's on our website. There, you don't have to spend a dime, and donations are made to us by other organizations. And again, on our website will be all of the links, information, and registration for all of the things that we do. Lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And back to you, Bob.
And we are back, and we're going to be talking, we are talking now about Testimony of Light, a book written by Helen Greaves. Incidentally, the number here, if you want to join in, is 1-888-627-6008. So I guess a good place to start is what this book is about. So I'm gonna pick on Melissa to give a little premise of what Helen Greaves, who she is, and what the book's about.
Well, Helen Greaves had been she was on a journey of exploration along with Frances Banks. And Frances Banks had been a nun at one time. And she and Helen shared this interest in survival of consciousness and worked closely together, I believe it was for 8 years or more, and Frances had already written a few books. I won't thumb through mine to cite the titles of them, but they were of the general nature of this work, and she and Frances and Helen had always planned on writing a book together, but then Frances took ill and died. What happened then was that Helen subsequently felt the presence of Frances in her meditative state, as Helen would sit in a meditative state, and even not intentionally so, just sitting quietly, listening to music, sitting by her fire. She suddenly would feel this presence, and it became apparent to her that this was Frances reaching out to her. Just as they had worked together when they were both in the physical life, now Frances is reaching out to her from the other side, and she guides Helen. I believe Helen took up her pen and transcribed things. I don't believe she referred to it as automatic writing, but I feel like she was just feeling compelled to write down what she was getting from Frances, and it became this book, Testimony of Light. But what's so remarkable about it is that Frances is telling about her entire journey from the time she transitions into this other world and the other beings that she encounters and works with. Some of them she knew when she was in her physical existence, and now they're there on the other side helping her. Others are new to her, and others are on a similar journey but progressing at a different rate. Some she's shown are stuck in a rather negative place. She explores what one might call what we would call hell. I can't recall.
The shadowy place.
The shadowy place, and there's another word people refer to as hell, but I can't think of it.
Underworld.
Underworld. So it's, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah,
and
it is, and I think that she doesn't refer to it as automatic writing, but I think clearly it is, you know. So all the information is very profound in the book, and it's either you believe in, you know, it's either you believe in the channeled writing or you don't, you know. Either if she is channeling Frances Banks, and from the consistency and the wisdom, it seems that she is, we learn a lot by it. But, you know, the book starts off with Frances, and as you mentioned, Melissa, she was very much attuned to this work and these beliefs, and she said, excited after she dies, physically dies and wakes up, "I've made the change."
Yeah.
Right? And then she says, I can both see and hear as before, only in a more intense way. You know, which made me think, you know, am I going to be surprised? What do you think? Are you going to be surprised,
yes,
Tom? You are.
Well,
even though you're prepared.
Let's put it this way. Bring it to the physical. I'm actually in 2 weeks going for a cataract surgery because obviously I have a cataract in one of my eyes, which if I close my other eye, all I see is a blur. And it's one of these things that over time has come on so gradually that I didn't really notice it until, you know, one day when I tried to take a picture through that eye in the lens and couldn't see, that I realized, I'm at a point where I need to have something done. And I have heard from people who have this surgery that you come out and the doctor says, you'll come out and you'll be pointing at, look at that, and look at that. And I think that that's what we're dealing with here on a much bigger scale, of course, because I'll still have a physical body and physical eyes, but they'll see better. And when we shed our physical, our mortal coil, as Shakespeare would have it, then there is no physical to see. You're seeing directly. And I think that's an experience.
And that's what I love about Tom. He can even equate the cataracts, you know, with the partial vision to an eye-opening experience. You know, you can't beat that. So we're going to get much deeper into some of the things that Melissa was talking about, these group souls, you know, why people return, you know, the nature of light, what we do. So stay with us. We're going to go to a break, and when we return, there's much more about Testimony of Light.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941. 3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering. We're having a discussion of The Testimony of Light by Helen Greaves, and the number here is 1-888-627-6008. So Frances finds herself in this other world, and she's surprised, and then she sees that she can see and hear everything in a more intense way. And then what was her first thought was, I wonder if I can get through, I must call Helen. Isn't that what we're always talking about, like when you pass over? And that's why so many people, you know, get messages.
Right away.
You know, right away, because it's the only thing that you're thinking of.
It seems to be the single most important thing. If you go to the book Blue Island, which is an account of the Titanic and the actual happening while people are dying and crossing over, the author of it, who also channeled it to his daughter, W.T. Steed, said the single most important thing when you cross over is to get a message to your loved ones that you left behind that everything is okay and you are fine. It's the single most important thing. He even went so far as to say there are people there whose job it is. They're assigned the job of making sure that the newly arrived get that message across, and if they can't do it, they help them do it.
Yeah. And that, but she also in the book makes reference to the fact that it's not an easy thing. You know, you just, you know, and a lot of people, they wonder, well, how come I don't get a message from my loved one right away? You know, don't they love me? Or, you know, it's not like they're not trying, you know, that there are helpers, you know, on the other side. There was also, I noted in the book, she describes that on page 93, Frances is taking care of a young girl who passed over.
Yeah.
And the girl is saying, I want to talk to my mother. And then, you know, Frances says, well, we can try. It's not easy to reach your mother. You know, you see, those who can hear us on Earth must have developed an inner telephone, you know, meaning that there has to be some ability of us in the physical to tune in, first and foremost, just believing, you know, that we can do it. And she said to the girl, you know, tell me what your mother is like and your house and your brothers and sisters, and I'll see if we can make a picture of it. And then we go down through the picture. I thought, you know, as if it was a game, you know.
Wow.
So that sounded
very Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but maybe that's the way it's maybe it's as, that's part of the process, right?
Well, you're reminding me, Bob, we're always telling people to meditate, even though we all say we don't really do it, but if you did, for that communication. And when we think about, no wonder we're not getting messages if we're go, 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 busy, busy, busy. We're not possibly able to say, Mommy, you know, Mommy, and you're waving,
right,
the little child, and you're go, go, go. And you, so unless you sit still and listen, how could you possibly hear?
Well, it was interesting revisiting this book because I read it many years ago.
We all were about 10 years ago.
And after our last gathering last month, which was about meditation, there is a section of the book that where Francis says meditation is the way to open lines of communication. And they also mention, which I thought was interesting, is that in the new age is emerging, and that's communications will be even more so. So here it is in the 60s, and we've talked many times about the 2012 when the new age was supposedly going to be here, and everybody's waiting at the stroke of midnight, and it doesn't come, and they think, oh, it's all hooey. Well, it's been coming since the 60s, so it's a good 40, 50, 60, who knows, a decade, a century before it actually gets here.
Right, but if you compare the people who were open to communications back in the 60s versus now, it's the change is tremendous when you look back.
There's we have noticed that certainly in what we're doing that there's a lot more people
who
can communicate.
Unfortunately, they all think that they're mediums and they're supposed to be hanging up shingles rather than appreciating and honoring spirit and the fact that they do have a direct pipeline at certain levels, certain vibrations, certain whatever.
I mean, it's funny, the human existence, as you say, you're given this gift of being part of the new awareness of all being ahead of the curve, and the first thing you want to do is make money out of it. It's kind of
it doesn't work that way.
It's counterproductive. That's not what it's all about.
There's a passage here that speaks to the point of communication. She says, this is Francis from the other side saying, there are stations on this plane, meaning this other realm, where communication with the earth plane is possible. I always had an idea of this, but now I know it is a fact. In these stations, there are helpers and servers who have dedicated their knowledge and service to helping those who long to send messages to loved ones still on earth. And then she goes on about, you know, the technique. So that's what we're talking about. There are, she calls them stations.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, we think of it in physical terms, but they're places where if you want to get a message through, you go to this station to get help. And there are people, and that's the service work that they do. They facilitate these communications. So
the helpers are basically mediums on the other side.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mediums on both sides.
We've spoken about that before.
Yeah.
That it is highly likely that as we need a medium here to help us out, they need a medium over there to help them out.
Yeah. And maybe the veil's a little thinner in some areas. Maybe the energy, the vibration, just where those stations happen to be.
Well, certainly when I was reading up in the 2012 about the Mayans and all that, there are definitely places on the planet that are energy charged. And if you actually go there, you're supposed to, you know, be able to get a more spiritual experience.
Some things that I missed, in the first cursory reading that I did, I never really did read the book, you know, just skimmed through it when Fran was reading it, and I picked up some stuff in reading it in depth. And when she talks about this life force, you know, that connects us all here and there and everywhere, and she does say that there's a passage in there, the life force is not expanded on only one terrestrial globe. Mm. You know, so that, you know, so with the knowledge that, you know, she has there, you know, we often talk about that, you know, whether there's life, you know, elsewhere, and it seems certainly logical, and here's some validation that don't think that Earth is the only place where consciousness resides, you know?
And that's also consistent with the Seth book,
right,
that he talks about it as your entity is like a, more like an octopus with tentacles, and at the end of every tentacle, you're experiencing some sort of life.
I was struck by the passage, thumbing through it again, just preparing for tonight, an entry from February 4th, which is today.
Wow.
And she says, you ask about precognition and whether there, it is a fact that the future is foreseeable. And then she goes on to say, I'm becoming increasingly aware of a pattern and a plan, the blueprint of one's efforts, one's successes and failures on all the planes, physical, material, emotional, mental, and spiritual, does indicate that a definite line of advance is voluntarily accepted by the soul before incarnation. So these are all the ideas we've been talking about.
Yeah, and also, and I think we've talked about this before, she talks about being blueprints. One blueprint from the all-knowing soul, you know, like the oversoul, and the other blueprint of the actual physical life that you lived.
The free will?
Yeah, and, you know, so you actually, when you, so you get to the other side, and she said, you can actually, you know, maybe not so in physical terms, but she describes setting the blueprint side by side. This is what the plan was, and here's the blueprint of how I acted upon that plan.
Yeah.
And she was quite taken aback, which made me a little worried, because she seemed to
That's
be
what I thought.
Live an exemplary life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
That's
she was lamenting
thought.
About all of the...
She was
Yeah, I mean,
I know.
There's no hope for us.
Wait a minute. I have to say this, because yeah. I think about this a lot. You know, when you're a person of the cloth in various religions, not in all of them, but in various religions, everything is taken care of for you. You have shelter, you have food, you have everything that you need. So to walk around picking up sick babies and helping people is easy for you to do. You don't have to get up and work 9 to 5, and you don't have to take aggravation. You have to deal with the cable company. You don't have to do all this crazy other stuff during the day. You are free to do what we all need to be doing, which is making this world a better place. It doesn't mean that Francis Banks is any better than any of us. We all still have to provide the roof over our heads. You know, it's just a matter of making the right choices. So I wouldn't go so far, Bob, and to say, oh, my God, we can't compare to Francis Banks. She's a nun. Let's remember that.
Right. Well, so she the other thing that struck me is, she talks about all the people that, all the spirits that went bravely into incarnation. Meaning that, you know, with all of the suffering and the, mm-hmm. you know, and the turmoil and the stress, and you maybe think of like an astronaut going to explore space. You know, I mean,
yeah.
you know, they're brave. Explorers, they know what they're going to face, but they do it anyways, you know. Maybe that's part of, because that's part of that blueprint that said this is part of the plan. So yeah, that was pretty interesting. So the other thing that we were talking about is that we often hear about a life review, and I always thought of it, you know, from reading the near-death experience reports and other channeled literature, that was the first thing that happened to everybody. We all go through this life review. But she said, she said there's no compulsion to review one's past life on Earth as soon as one arrives and a new life begins here. Some dread tackling this and get stuck. So that's, we hear about getting
yeah.
stuck. I mean, maybe that's what getting stuck is, and that's where, that was her job over there, is helping these people that didn't want to face what they, the life that they had lived in review.
Well, fear. Simple fear.
Yeah.
And I remember that part, Bob. Does she then go on, like, there's no compulsion, but it's an eventuality that at some point you do have to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, you postpone it, but it's something that you have to do because the advancement in each group, and there are many different groups.
Does she use the word stuck?
She does
because
use the word stuck.
Because that seems to correspond with the religious terminology of purgatory or something. So until you want to take note of how you acted in the physical world, you're going to be stuck in this one place, and you're not going to be able to get the glory and the wonderful little clouds with the harps and floating about.
Well, actually, she has something to say about that, too.
Go with it.
Some people are disappointed who think that they've lived this hard life and that they will pass over and go to the heaven with the pearly gates and live on a cloud blazing all day long. And apparently it's not so. You're still stuff you got to do over there, and you know you're still going to be working. You know, you won't, not for money, but to earn your way to the next level, which apparently is the item.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, it's all and being stuck is probably dealing with the karma that you have brought with you. If we could only find out more about that somehow.
Yeah, and those groups were consistent with other stuff that we heard, you know, like-minded people, people of the same vibrational, you know, level, the same degree of enlightenment, so to speak, and then you go, the ultimate goal is the top where you're a totally, you know, enlightened person. You remember in the book them talking about they have actual festivals there with music and with light. Everything's about vibration, you know, and light. She writes, these festivals are accompanied, as always, in ceremony with music on a grander scale than anything that is performed on Earth. Yet I've never seen instruments such as were necessary for the production of such harmonies. And, you know, then she goes on and on, you know, when she talks about the note, you know, which is like the ultimate.
Yeah.
When at last reached and sounded in full, is held and vibrated at a pitch of intensity which sweeps every soul into harmony. And the light breaks through into the assembly. The light surrounds us, lifts us, touches us, awakens us. And when I'm reading that, I keep thinking, but if Tom only can get that from one of his gigs.
What is that gentleman?
I was thinking about that one.
What about that fellow that we read about not too long ago, or maybe we saw the video? He had that song in his head. And
right. I can't remember. We interviewed him about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months ago. The guy from the UK who
his whole quest,
I was thinking
his whole
about
life
that, so.
Became this music that he had stuck in his head, even though he was not a musician and didn't even know how to write it down.
But it was like he got a glimpse of the
that
music from
well,
the
don't
other
you
side.
Think that's what some of these, particularly the Southern Baptist churches that are totally oriented around music and singing and raising your vibration. I mean, isn't that where you're going with this stuff?
Without doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading another book at the moment, you know, for a future guest, and it was about St. Joseph of Copertino, who levitated, you know, and there's a long history of levitations, even, you know, within the Catholic Church and in other, you know, religions and spiritual endeavors. But they talk about this ecstasy, and ecstasy was a requirement for getting into that a state where you could levitate, and these ecstatic episodes very often were by music or art, you know, or, you know, song or, you know, and anything that, you know, who knows how it happened, but when he would reach these blissful moments, he'd be in a total different zone in a different world, and then there were thousands of witnesses over decades that saw him levitate sometimes as high as 10, 15 feet in the air. So
it all makes sense from all that we've talked about raising your vibration, raising your energy, through happy thoughts, through music. And so it's like literal, too. We talk about it, but then you can actually experience it.
Yeah, I know some of the things she wrote. Life is expansion. Light is but the widening on one's inner perceptions. And talking about life, she said, life is separated by density. That's all. That makes a lot of sense, too.
Tom's favorite part was that, well, I shouldn't say your favorite part, but what stuck with you the most was that artist who only he was in what they would call the underworld, I guess.
Yes.
He only painted in drab colors, and he did not feel he could get out of that. And
he didn't think there was anything else.
Anything else.
Yeah, exactly, which is very similar to, you know, people you meet here who are diehard skeptics who just say, no, this is it. When you die, you're done. Boom, it's done. It's done. Closed mind. End of story. And here's a guy, and then Francis comes in and says, and he says, oh, so you think there's something else? He goes, yeah, there's something else. You can get out of here.
Yeah.
And
he says, there's no way
he
out.
He didn't believe it.
She goes and she gets him a tube of white paint.
Yeah.
And
right.
She shows him what can be done. And he does, at the end, start to go up in the right direction.
It's all a state of mind, right? So it's just the exit or the entrance is right in front of you. You just can't see it. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the testimony of light. Maybe we could talk a little bit about whether there's any poverty or suffering or cruelty on the other side, because she does address that. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087, or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. laurenhalpern@gmail.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary.
In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Gathering, and we're talking about the book Testimony of Life with by Helen Greaves. The number here is 1-888-627-6008 in case you'd like to join in. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, these descriptions of what it's like over there. And a lot of people were always asking, well, you know, what about if you were ravaged by disease here? You know, what's it like when you cross over, or is there any suffering? And there is a passage in here that I was just trying to find it myself. She said that there's an existence. This is an existence in another dimension of thought. Disease, poverty, cruelty, suffering, as it is known on Earth, could not possibly exist here because the light of the Spirit opens our vision, and we seek the way to the higher worlds of even more glorious beauty. That about sums it up. So if you're worried about suffering, it ain't going to happen. You know, so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, Bob, I was struck at the very start of the adventure that Francis has. It was so similar to a baby being born. It's like you sleep for great periods of time. You open your eyes. You take it in. You drift back off to sleep until you're fully acclimated.
You're right, and even Frances at the beginning of the book talks about she was in I forgot how she termed it, but it was
the beautiful surrounding with no walls and the lights and the...
Well, it was like a resting area.
Yeah.
She was in a resting
that's
area.
What she called it.
Yeah. And then other people were helping her, you know, because I guess it's rare that somebody adjust, you know, just like that, you know, so that they're right. There's some sort of incubation period similar to a newborn, you know, it's all thrown at you and you have to sort of take it
process,
all in, process
open,
it.
Open your eyes, take it, and then go back to sleep and think about it some more.
The other thing, you know, like you said, I had that in my notes too. Started off in a rest home, so I was wondering, do you think that there are some people that just, like, hit the ground running and
well, the woman that was described by Melissa, who had the child with her,
right,
sounds like she came in fully developed because she left as soon as the child was all right to a higher plane. So, yeah, I think some people probably do. And I think that it probably has a lot to do with how you prepare yourself while you're here, meditating, letting the spirit go through you, whether you can communicate or whatever is immaterial, but, you know, it's like an exercise that you can do. If you meditate, then you probably will be better prepared when you face this reality.
Yeah, and we were talking about group souls. A lot of people want to know, will we be alone, you know, who we'd be with, or the family or whatever. So she addresses that. She says, first of all, we all belong to a family group. We're born into and marry into family groups which are most suitable for the type of experience and lessons we as incarnating souls need. Many people don't get far away from the family group, and the family group soul is the most important thing in their lives. The next groups are the groups of interest, specific interest, passionate attachments to the arts, to music, to education, social sciences, and social service. These are wider and more extensive groups and extend beyond the families and individuals into smaller groups. Such groups would be those of musicians, artists, prophets, orators, writers, doctors, philosophers, scientists who had passed through the group work and had graduated. She also talks about, if you remember, meeting some souls that were doctors in the physical, and they're working on certain cures for certain diseases, and they're working with other like-minded doctor folk on that side, but also trying to get the message projected to open minds and still in the physical to put these plans into fruition. So, that's pretty interesting too. So then she talks about the next stage of groups is on a higher level and is not always attained by souls who desire rapid return to earth conditions. So I guess, I guess that you can progress to a certain point and then decide that you need more physical experience and go back, before you can get up. And not everybody, apparently, makes it to that ultimate, And maybe you don't feel any need to. I mean, you're perfectly satisfied with the blissfulness or the work that you're doing and the satisfaction and the being able to thought travel wherever you are. To me, that sounds to be more interesting than being with saints and iconic philosophers and whatever I want to. I don't know.
I don't think there are categories there. I think if you have a category like that, it's because you've created that reality. You started the whole conversation earlier by saying that Francis said to that girl, okay, let's visualize where you live so that we can get the message in there. So you don't have the physicality of it, but if you can visualize what the physical thing is that you want, then it's there, and then you can use it. So I don't think you could say, oh, let me go hang out with a bunch of philosophers. If that's what you need to do, then you create it, and then you go do that.
Right. Takeaway messages, if you remember towards the end of the book, I guess when she's starting to the point that she wanted to get across before she finished communicating with Helen. Number one, there should be no fear of death, for the death of the body is but a gentle passing to a much freer life. Mm-hmm. That all life is lived as a serial, that we go from one experience of living to another experience of living at a different rate, example, on a higher level of awareness. And three, that much of what we thought praiseworthy on earth is mediocre to us in the light of wider knowledge, and conversely, much for which we blamed ourselves and were blamed by others is viewed here from a wider angle and becomes merit. So we never think of it that way. If we're beating ourselves over something that we, beating ourselves up over something that we think was bad in some sense, when you view it from that step back position and perspective, turns out to be something not only not so bad, but actually good.
Do you think because if we're beating ourselves up about it, it means we're sort of kind of atoning for it, or at least reflecting on it wasn't maybe such a great thing to do?
That's what we're saying, but the book's saying maybe you don't have to atone for it.
I don't think the book is saying we're atoning for it. I think the book is saying the fact that you can say that was not a good thing shows your inner soul of goodness. So that...
And just acknowledging, recognizing it, or not even...
I'm just reading it, it's not a bad thing. You're here on the earth thinking, oh, gosh, I'm regretting doing that. And they're saying, don't regret it. We think it's great over there. We're all applauding you.
Right. And also, don't forget about the blueprints. You know, you're putting the blueprints side by side. So in the physical, you thought, oh, this is terrible. But then when you look at the greater plan, this was a good thing because
it got you closer to the next
Right.
And it was what you were supposed to be doing. So you're saying, oh, gosh, I wish I didn't do that. And they're all going, you know, that's what you signed up for.
You're supposed to do that.
I'd have to think more about that because I think that could be a cop-out for some people.
Yeah.
Well, in the physical
I'm already
world,
running
everybody's looking at cop-outs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, last week when I stayed out till 4 in the morning, I used to think that's great.
You think that's a bad thing?
Yeah, you think what?
Tom and I being enlightened see that as part of a grand scheme. One thing is clear is that, you know, everything is generated by thought. I mean, everything that goes on in these other realms. And she also says that in becoming aware of her spiritual body, she is also able to absent myself from this plane of thought, the astral or emotional, and slip away in consciousness to the higher mental and spiritual planes of thought. So I guess that's why certain meditative training here is valuable, because it comes in handy on the other side. You know, just by thought processes, we think of it's all one area, like it's all one area in the physical, but it's so many different levels, and you can be in so many different places, and there's a realm of thought, there's probably a realm of emotion, there's a realm of travel, you know, of astral, you know, so wouldn't it be cool of just thinking about a place? And I think she just mentioned somewhere in here about visiting different worlds.
And we do, I mean, we can do it to some degree. When we get lost in thought about reflecting on a trip we had or one we want to take. And so to that small amount of pleasure we get just from that daydreaming, they're kind of actually living it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the other important things that she said was that there's an evolutionary process, you know, to losing the fear of death. And, you know, so she says that, you know, man's always going to die. You just don't fight it, you know, embrace it. And once we do away with the fear of death, we'll change the way that we live, you know. And they talks about this is going to come sooner than, you know, than we think. And that's something we talk about a lot. I mean, people live their lives in fear of death, and all our decisions are based upon postponing that.
Well, a message I had gotten from Tom's dad about 10 years ago from a medium, he said, it wasn't that I was afraid to die, I just didn't want it to hurt. And I think that might be more the fear. You don't want to go in a painful way.
Well, that's what I forgot his name.
Woody Allen.
I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when I die.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yes.
That is true. That is one of the great fears, you know, about the process itself. But
if we could just know that we were just going to go to sleep and that be that, as many people do.
That's right.
If only we knew that, I think that would take away a lot.
If only we knew, we could just open the door and just go into another room.
Why don't you meditate,
and
visualize,
and
do it. All right, and just as we wind down, I just want to remind everybody that our March gathering is the topic will be, how do we know that there is an afterlife? So, you know, check the website for the books we recommend to read there. Two of them are Is There an Afterlife? A Comprehensive Overview of the Evidence, and Stop Worrying, There Probably Is an Afterlife. Two wonderful books. And we will take this further on March 3rd, the next gathering. And now we want to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Joe Nadal, Karen Gould, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Haith, Marianne Pierzga, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty, and Doreen Malloy. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.